Let's pray over the message. Father God, thank you for this time together. I thank you for your word that it is so powerful. Get our hearts and our minds ready to receive from you today so that not one person leaves the same way they came in. That we hear your word, receive your word, and it's a seed that is planted in the rich soil of our hearts that will bring a change, that will increase our faith. May we leave here more faith-filled, with more joy and more peace today because we had an encounter with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are in the book of Ephesians, which has been amazing so far. Today we enter into chapter 3 of Ephesians. This epistle was written in Rome by Paul the Apostle in AD 60. Paul is chained to a Roman soldier while he's writing this. He's on house arrest in Rome, and he's been down 5 years. He's been arrested for 5 years when he writes this letter. So it's pretty amazing the perspective that he carries amidst his trial. The theology of the church is fully explained with passion and tears of the church, to the churches in Asia Minor, with the church in Ephesus being the primary recipient. The book of Acts is the history of the church. The book of Ephesians is the theology of the church. So far in this epistle, Paul has brilliantly laid out the revelation that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Not by works, but by faith alone. Paul explains that we are one church, worshiping one God and one Spirit. There is no longer any distinction between Jew and Gentile, slave or free, man or woman, or Greek or barbarian. All believers have been fused together in Christ, creating a unified church. Just as there has always been unity between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, so there is unity in the spirit of the church that Christ is the head of. No longer are we Gentiles, the outsiders, but we have been brought near to the Father through the blood of Jesus, so that we can glorify Him with our lives, and with the good works that come from that God has predestined for us to do. The power, the promises, the covenant, and the position has come to all nations who believe in the perfect life, sacrifice, atonement, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's get into this, yeah? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. It stops right there because Paul is literally getting ready to pray. And he pauses, okay? It's like He's explained, this mystery of the church and salvation is by grace through faith, and the Gentiles, have been let in. So there's no more it's not all about the Jews anymore. It's about all of us. And isn't that wonderful that Christ would die for our sins and open up the door to salvation and a relationship, a living relationship with a holy God for everyone? But Paul's about to pray for this and he stops. So we have to go down to verse 14 to see that. So we go to verse 14. It says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. That's how we know. But in the middle of that, verses 2 through 13 is a parenthesis. Paul digresses. He feels the need to go into it some more. So we'll look at that today. He says, for this reason. What reason? That we are alive in Christ, that Jew and Gentile are one by grace through faith in Christ. And that's what gets you there. It's Jesus. It's not good deeds or rituals. It's not those the ceremonial law the Jews, you know, said, you know, mattered. When Christ died on the cross, all of that ceremonial stuff was abolished, died with him. No longer do we have to wash and not eat this or not eat that or wear these certain clothes or don't do this and don't do that. All of that stuff that the Jews did was abolished when Christ died. And Paul says, he gave his life to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. So I want to take a look at Paul's life today. And what I'll do is I'm going to go through several different letters to several different churches that he wrote to, because he lets a little bit more out of, you know, he describes himself a little more within each letter. And so I want to go through that. Paul's name used to be Saul of Tarsus. A Pharisee of Pharisees. Let's look at the letter that he wrote, the Philippian church, in chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus. Excuse me. And who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, check. Of the people of Israel, check. Of the tribe of Benjamin, check. A Hebrew of Hebrews, check. In regard to the law, a Pharisee, check. As for zeal, persecuting the church, check. Zeal for God, check. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless, check. See, Saul was all in with the Jewish religion and all the ceremonial laws and all the, I mean, he was a student of Gamaliel. I believe that's how you say his name. He was the smartest dude of the Old Testament, and Paul was taught by him, and Paul knew the Old Testament front to back. He knew the ceremonial law, the moral law. He knew all the do's and the don'ts of the Jewish faith. And so he's saying in this letter to the Philippians, it is not by our performance. Because if it was about performance, I performed. And it's not about that. It's about what Jesus did. That Jesus' perfect life. If we're going to boast, if we're going to celebrate anything, we celebrate what Christ has done. What Christ has done for our lives. It's not anything that you and I can do. It takes away the pressure. Salvation is not a performance-based salvation. It is by grace, the grace of God. That means that this is a God thing anyway. When someone gets born again, it's because God did it. God regenerates the heart. And he'll take whoever he wants, whenever he wants, and do it. But it's by grace through faith. So it's the faith that I have in Christ, that he lived a perfect life in thought, word, and deed. There was no sin found in him, and he willingly went to the cross and died in our place. He took the death that we deserved. And because he was perfect, death couldn't hold him down. Because where there is no sin, there is no death. And so Jesus rose from the dead, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he prays for us. And it is faith. You may not understand all of it, But with a mustard seed of faith that Jesus is the Son of God and that he paid for your sin. He was a substitute for us. When we have faith in him, salvation comes, the grace of God. Turned off. That was weird. I hope the batteries aren't low. I don't know. Let me gather my thoughts. So Paul is literally saying, if anybody had what it takes to get there, I did. And it's not about that. And it takes all the pressure off of us. Because it's, okay, no, I switch back now. Seriously, though, this is powerful stuff. So if there was ever going to be a... Go ahead, DJ. Pick that up, Deacon. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I love you. Yeah, if there was ever going to be warfare, it'd be, you know, one of these messages, because that's how powerful this is. It's really moving. So it takes the pressure off of us. We don't perform to be saved. But in that sense, because we're saved, good works come out of us because we're so grateful. And you'll see that as we go. So Saul of Tarsus, right? He is this persecutor of the church. He's sold out for the Jewish faith. And all, here come these heathen Christians, you know, proclaiming that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so he would go, he was on a mission to put him in jail. He was on a mission to watch him die. He's the one that held everybody's cloaks as they stoned Stephen to death. But Saul of Tarsus meets Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, on his way to persecute more Christians. In Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 6, he says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell on the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? He said. Saul asked, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. You persecute my people, you're persecuting me. He replied, and now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. This is so encouraging. As a filthy sinner saved by grace, is that Paul was literally ready to commit more sin, ready to persecute more of Christ's people, and Christ gets him. On the way, right in the midst of his dirty deeds. And he touches him and flips him inside out and upside down. Right? Saul of Tarsus will never, ever, ever, ever be the same again because he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. So, we don't know exactly when Saul changed his name to Paul, but it happened right around then. And Paul is a Greek name meaning humble and lowly. So So one reason could very well be that, I mean, hey, if you're a famous murderer and you have this experience with Christ Jesus and you're turning your life around, you probably want to change your name, right? If you want to, you want to make an impact, you don't want to go within with that same Saul of Tarsus. Oh no, that could be one reason, but I know this is a reason. And he wrote the Corinthian church. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here." His name was changed, he was changed. A new creation in Christ. And you know, it's like, our names may not physically be changed, but I'll tell you what. The stigma and the disappointment and the resentment and the bad reputation that used to cloak the name of Chris Jones is no longer there. Hallelujah. See, our past doesn't define us. When we are changed in Jesus Christ, we are new. We have been set free. We've been changed. We've been saved and washed by the blood of Christ. And we are a new creation. So when your past, and you could call it, you can call it the devil. You can call it our sin nature that messes with our head, that bad neighborhood that likes to tell you you're not good enough. You're a fake, you're this, you're that. Don't you remember when you did this? How could you be a Christian? You can grab those thoughts you have authority now because you are a new creation. And you grab those thoughts in the authority of Jesus Christ. And you can even say, like I do, because I have times where I shake my head. I think about what I used to do. And I'm like, man. And I feel shame. But then I go, you know what? That was bad. But I'm not that guy. I can acknowledge that I've had a past, but I do not let that dictate who I am today. Because I have been forgiven. I have been set free, and my mind has been renewed by the word of God. So I am a new creation in Christ. My name, Chris Jones, is new. It carries a newness to it. And when people hear the name Chris Jones, I immediately want them to say, oh, hey, that guy follows Jesus. That's the tag. That's the reputation that comes. Oh, they're a follower of Christ. Oh, I heard they go to church. Oh, they're their Jesus freak. Oh, I've been called way worse. And I am. I'm all in for Jesus. And if that makes me a freak, so be it. But the old has passed away. Saul changes his name to Paul, and he begins this ministry. And I love it that God doesn't, he's so much bigger than our character defects. He's so much bigger than our shortcomings. He's so much bigger than our past and even our present. And he's got a call on our lives. Each and every one of us has a purpose. And God has a plan for us. And we see that through Paul. Because if he would have looked at him, he'd be like, there's no way, man. He hates Christians. He hates Jesus followers. And yet, God said, no, he's mine. I will pour out my grace on this undeserving person. And they will receive it with such gratefulness that the revelation of, ah, God chose me, will drive their very, you know, their very lives, so they operate without throwing rocks at other people, right? Because when you've been saved and you're a sinner, you understand, oh my gosh, God chose me. How could I throw rocks at anybody else? It won't, that keeps me from getting puffed up. And yet I don't live in defeat because I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming and I'm blessed going. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. The chains have been broken off of me. Sin no longer has dominion over me. Death does no longer have dominion over me. Satan does no longer have dominion over me. So I am free, because for who the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. This drives us, and that's what I love about our church in particular, is because we're messy. And the more messy you've been, the more grateful you are for God's grace. Hallelujah. Right? It's like, woo! If you see something in me, man, let's go. You did, God. I am sold out to you. How I am so grateful, Jesus, that you would see something in me when I never did and nobody else did either. You saw something in me worth saving, and you died for us. You did it, Jesus. I love you. I'm so grateful. And this is where Paul's at. I mean, he wrote most of the New Testament. Dude was on fire, and he got beat up, shipwrecked. I mean, he went through it, and it was like, it ain't nothing. It's just another stoning. I'm just starving, you know, I'm just floating in the ocean, stranded, beaten for Jesus. Amen. It makes us weapons for the kingdom. So let's go back to verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Notice how Paul doesn't say, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Rome. He's in jail. He's chained to a Roman guard. He's like, I ain't no prisoner of Rome. God is sovereign over my circumstances. I have been called to preach the gospel and live for Christ. So I am a prisoner of Christ. You see, Paul's saying, I understand that I might be in this situation, but I am in this situation with a sovereign God. I am in this situation with a purpose, on purpose. And so I won't just be woe is me in this situation. I will take advantage of it. I will allow this situation, walking through it with Christ Jesus, knowing I have a call on my life, a purpose in my life. I walk through adversity knowing God's put me here for a reason. What do I need to learn through this? How can I be effective through this? How can I glorify you? Because you are sovereign over my circumstances. Hallelujah, right? He's declaring, I'm a prisoner of Christ. I might be chained to a Roman guard, but I ain't his prisoner. I'm a prisoner. If I'm a prisoner of anybody, I'm a prisoner of Jesus. I'm God's slave, prisoner, servant. And so he's got a perfect perspective, and he doesn't let his circumstances overcome him. He says, my circumstances are dictated by my faith, by my God, who has called me, who has given me a purpose to live, who has given me, how grateful are you that you understand any of what I'm saying today? Hallelujah. That you understand anything in the Bible. I've told you before, these words meant nothing to me. So much so that I would smoke weed out of the pages of the Bible. How bad is that? Okay? Bad. But now, because of God, wasn't because of anything I did. He's changed my heart and my mind. Now, These are holy, holy scriptures, living, breathing word of God that saves, delivers, heals, and, you know, and all the other things that I can't think of right now. It's Jesus. He's alive. He's the Word made flesh. He came to draw us in, the Gentiles, the heathens, and save us. So he says, for the sake of you Gentiles, I'm a prisoner of Christ. Paul was spreading the gospel to the Gentile nations, and the Jews hated this. They hated it. Even when the church was first born, I mean, think about it. They've been growing up in this tradition of the Jewish faith for all this time. So even the early Christian Jews were like, hey, some of them were like, look, you can't just go from heathen to saint. You got to go heathen, Jew, saint, right? First, we'll take the heathen, we'll teach them the Jewish things, and we'll circumcise them, and then they can become a saint. Paul's like, no, no, it doesn't go like that. Eliminate the middle part. Go from heathen to saint because of Christ Jesus. There is no middle ground here. We're all one now. So whether Jew or Gentile, we're all one in Jesus Christ. And he paid with his life. Amen. So now let's get into the parentheses of his prayer in verse 2 and 3. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. It's like, surely you've heard about not only my conversion, but the grace that God gave me to be your minister. Surely now, by now that you know, that you've read maybe my other writings, or at least this part of my letter to you, that is the mystery that's made known, the mystery of the church, the mystery that you don't have, it doesn't have to go heathen, Jew, saint, but literally heathen to saint through the blood of Jesus, sinner to saint by the blood of Jesus. Surely, surely you know. And it was made known to me by revelation. God himself connected the dots. And you see the brilliance and the planning of God as he chose a man like Paul, because Paul knew the old, the Torah, the law, front to back. And Jesus himself went, there I am. There I am again. There I am again, Paul. And see this? Here. Yeah, that's all about me too. And Paul just went and connected the dots and began to preach the truth, which is found all throughout Scripture. Front to back points to Jesus Christ, that he's the Messiah, that there is only one way to the Father, and that is through him, through faith in him, through faith in what who he was, and the work that he did on the cross for us. He tells the Galatians church in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. He didn't learn it from the other apostles. He didn't learn it from any man. It was Jesus himself who did this for him. And so, you know, God, when God reveals things to us, as I look at Paul's life, and I mean, salvation for Paul is amazing. But see, God will reveal things to us, the mysteries, His mysteries, so that we can share, right? Paul got these mysteries revealed to him so he could share with others. It is for us to share what little you know, share it a lot. Apply it to your life. Let it shine out of your life, the revelation that you have received thus far. But that's why I keep hammering you guys to read your Bible. Get in the Word. It's not your religious duty. That's not what I'm asking you to do. The more that we read and learn, the more time we spend together in like a Bible study or fellowship talking about what we read, we begin to understand, right? That's renewing our mind. It's strengthening our spirit. You know, I heard a preacher say recently, we don't eat food so that we can remember what we ate a week from now. We eat food, right, to keep us healthy. We eat food to give us strength. That's why we read the Word. It's spiritual food. It's not so that we can remember it, even though it's good to remember Scripture so you can, you know, that flies off your tongue at the right moment, at the right time. But that's even God working in your life. But we read Scripture to feed our spirit so that we stay healthy, so that we feel strong and full of the truth, not full of the world. Amen. So in verse 4 and 5, he says, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. We are in such a special generation. And I mean, it started with the church, right? It started with Jesus resurrected and all those, think about all those thousands of years before that. Even the most sold out prophet only had a glimpse of what was happening right now. And Paul, literally Paul is saying it's being explained. The dots are connected between Christ and his church and how God came to save the nations of the world, not just Israel, but all of us. And it's being revealed now through the apostles and prophets that God has been revealing his truth to us, which will be passed down from generation to generation. And here we are today still talking about this letter written in AD 60. It's 2025. Gonna be 26, right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's a long time ago. Still relevant. Still totally ministering to us, strengthening us as a church, reminding us that we're favored by God. That we're not outside. We're in. We're near. We're beloved. We're anointed. We're favored by the grace of God. What favor that we carry. It's beautiful. Paul's desire is that everyone who reads this letter fully understand it in the revelation of who we are in Christ. And I love that we're going through it verse by verse so we can really squeeze all the juice out of it. Amen. And really understand who we are together and be encouraged. Be encouraged today. That yeah, we're sinners, but we are saints. It's not what you do or what you don't do. And when it's what Christ did, and I think that when we're Christ focused instead of sin focused, and we're focused on Christ and how the goodness of what he's done, this just the goodness of who he is, and that his ever present Holy Spirit lives within us. And so at every moment of every day, I can fellowship with a holy God because he sees me holy and blameless. He sees you holy and blameless so that you can boldly go before the throne of God and worship him. Go before the throne of God and pray for others and pray for yourself. Just love on him. Where it was a veil, it was a wall before, it's been torn down by Christ. And so we have this beautiful favor that only belonged to Israel before. Let's go to verse 6. This is awesome. The mystery that is through the gospel. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. There's a prefix here in the Greek words that he uses. It's called son, S-U-N. And it's used in the Greek words for heirs, members, and sharers. So that prefix of son means so mixed together that you can't even tell the difference. So when we read it, and I didn't share all the Greek words because of time, but heirs together with Israel. We get an inheritance where we're so mixed together with Israel, that inheritance is just as much ours as it is theirs. We're so mixed together that members together of one body. We're so mixed together, you can't tell one from another. There is no man or woman in the body of Christ. We're so mixed together, we are of one body. And shares together in the promise that is in Christ Jesus. So mixed together, sharing the love of God through Jesus Christ, you can't even tell the difference between one from another, from us. We all inherit the promises. We all partake in the goodness of God. No one's greater than any other. No, just we're all part of a body doing the best we can with what God has given us. So let's look at verses 7 and 8. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all of the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. God himself chooses who he chooses. He could choose the most shot out sinner he wants. Amen. Because he chose me, and I was pretty shot out. He chooses whoever he wants. He gives us purpose. He calls us out of the darkness into the light. Then he takes our past that once was condemning us and killing us, and he uses that for our benefit so we can minister to others who are in dark places. We can minister to others who are going through it with compassion. We can do it with compassion because the Lord has lifted us out of death, out of the darkness. He has washed us clean and he's given us his truth, which is power, which is strength. And when we begin to understand the truth and our mind is being renewed and renewed day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, we change and we become this powerful force for Jesus Christ, not being arrogant at all, because who are we? He picked us up when we were a shot out sinner. It's nothing that we've done except for being obedient to the truth, which has set us free. So with grateful hearts, we charge ahead as the army of God. With grateful hearts, we walk through hard times in our lives because we know if he be for us, who be against us? We know he's promised us eternal life in Christ Jesus, in his glory. So how bad could it really be? Because this world is temporary. And I'm not trying to minimize anything anybody's going through. I understand the valley is hard. Trials are hard. Tragedy is hard to walk through. But when you walk through it with Jesus, when you walk through it with faith, none of it is in vain. You see what I'm saying? You are used by God in the hardest times of your life. And people, look at that. I bet you even are encouraging others in your deepest, darkest moments because it's the Holy Spirit in you just is wanting to heal, wanting to uplift, wanting to use your life to bless others. Amen. Whether you realize it or not, you're encouraging others and you're like, man, I feel beat down right now. You know, I'm just being honest. Trial's a trial. Hard times are hard times. We don't have to be fake. Say, yay! I'm growing! But you're growing. We grow in the valley. We don't grow on the mountaintop. I love the mountaintop. But we grow when the rubber meets the road. What do you believe? Do you really believe? That's where it matters. That's where it matters. And that's where we cling to the Word of God. We cling to those promises. Because we've been brought in. They're ours. Amen. Amen. He shares in the Corinthians church in chapter 15, verses 9 through 10. He literally says this again, but I had to share it. For I am the least of the apostles. And do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. He says, I'm a scumbag. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. When he showed me his grace, it ain't like nothing changed. Baby, everything changed when he poured out his grace on me. No, I worked harder than all of them. All the rest of the apostles, I worked harder than them. And he did. Paul was a great church planner, evangelist, teacher, preacher. He did it all. He was an apostle. He literally deserves to be called Apostle Paul. But yet he thought of himself like, man, without Jesus, I'm nothing. I can't believe that he would choose me to do this. Yet he did, and I am who I am. So I see that and I'm like, oh, that's good. That's a good combo to have. Yet, so we don't forget our past. We hold it near to keep us humble. But we don't let that dictate who we are. We keep God's grace has been poured out on me and he's given me a mission. He's given me purpose. He's called me his child and I am a child of God. Therefore, I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming and I'm blessed going. If God be for me, who can be against me? And if they may form that weapon against me, but it shall not prosper in the name of Jesus. Amen? So it's those two, that's balance that we hold that keeps us humble, but we go with power and the anointing and the promises of God because of what Christ did, because he is for us, because you are a new creation. You carry an anointing now, hallelujah, and you'll share the way you're supposed to share. You won't share like Pastor Chris. You won't share like the Apostle Paul. You'll share the way you share. And it's just for that person that God has put in your path. And he predestined that, by the way. He has planned out your good deeds for you. Just be ready to share your faith. I encourage you. Share it. Yeah, man. And even it's like, man, I just started going to church, bro. But something's happening in me. That's sharing your faith. I'm just saying, I would love it if you were like spitting out scripture and all that stuff, but you don't have to. And a lot of the times, that'll scare people away. It's being the scripture. It's being love. It's listening, caring, and then sharing. And even being brave enough to pray for somebody. Can I pray for you? That's a huge impact on this world. That is drawing people to Jesus without being a theologian. Amen? So I'm going to share this last scripture and then I'll wrap it up. In Colossians 1, he writes to the church in Colossae in verses 24 through 29. He goes, "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. I rejoice in this trial. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions." It's like all of these trials, all of this pain, I store it up in my flesh in regard to Christ taking his beatings and his pain for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. We have a call to disciple each other. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. He's even giving credit to his zeal and his energy to Christ, to the grace of God that gets us up every day, breath in our lungs, freedom in our spirit, freedom to operate in the supernatural, meaning the promises to love supernaturally, to forgive supernaturally, to give grace in a supernatural way because of the grace that pours, has been poured out on us, comes out through us. And we make this world a better place. We do. We bring light to a very dark and negative culture. So it is here that we eat and we get strengthened so we can go out there and pour it out. Amen? Amen. Amen. Remember, when your past creeps up on you to condemn you, that the chains have been broken and you have been set free by the blood of Jesus. You are a new creation. In a sense, your name is a new name. And you have purpose, you have an anointing, and you have a blessing from God. Amen? I'll close with that. So, Father, I don't want to end a service without giving everybody an opportunity, because I don't know where everybody's at. But, everything that we talked about today starts with a relationship with Jesus. And it's a surrender, right? I'm giving you my life, God. I've been living my life for me, and you've drawn me today with this sermon, and I want to know that I'm yours. I want salvation. It's not the prayer that saves you, but it's you surrendering to the God who does. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you've backslidden and you want to rededicate your heart today, I want to pray with you. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't be embarrassed. Today, salvation has come to this church. And it's the Lord that is drawing you today. So if you've never given your life to Jesus or you want to rededicate your heart, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. Okay. Right. I'm not going to force anybody to do it. Amen, sister. All right. Well, let's pray this prayer. Church, help us out. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life. Change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father God, shine your face upon your people as they go. Lord, remind us who we are in you. Highly favored, blessed, and loved. I pray a blessing over your people as they go. May they be filled with your peace and joy that surpasses all understanding. Till next week, we bless you and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week, guys.